dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who've transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, The Sound of Music, that beloved Rodgers and Hammerstein musical featuring Maria the Singing Nanny, a stubborn but salvageable single father, those beloved Von Trapp children, and, unfortunately, Nazis. Yes, after decades of being performed by students in the Fullerton School District of California, the superintendent this week correctly decided that the play itself could go on. But all of the swastika-bearing signs, armbands, and flags, as well as the Hail Hitler salutes, would be redacted from the performance. His concern, obviously, was the images of youth actors wearing or performing such things might be photographed and misused on social media, inadvertently linking them or the school to genocide, anti-Semitism, and, you know, history in general. We, of course, applaud this decision to olive drab wash the past and make art which can never be misinterpreted or misused out of context in any way. Therefore, we support comprehensive scouring of all high school performance pieces to find and remove similarly offending material. Thus, there will be no mention of witchcraft in the Crucible, and no dressing as Puritans either, just in case. A Christmas Carol's Tiny Tim will have both legs intact for fear of seeming to mock those with alternative leg styles. And the use of poison must certainly be removed from Arsenic and Old Lace, which will henceforth be retitled Unidentified Liquid and Mature Lace. Since we wouldn't want pictures of student actors wielding weapons or committing suicide to be misconstrued, Romeo and Juliet will not contain poison or daggers. Hamlet will have no daggers. Macbeth will have no daggers. Richard III will have no daggers. Julius Caesar will have no daggers. In fact, on second thought, it's probably best to simply not have Shakespeare. Yes, we will make sure that nothing in any high school play could ever offend anyone or be taken out of context on social media. We will show that we are totally different from those art-censoring Nazis by prohibiting everything bad in school art. The hills will not be alive with the sound of music. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, tipping. Because it's racist. It came to our attention this week through an otherwise innocuous-seeming article in Newsweek about whether or not to tip the attendant who scoops your ice cream cone that the practice of tipping itself is rooted in the oppression of black Americans after the Civil War. As we now know, tipping was essentially unheard of in America prior to the late 1800s, having been mostly practiced by Europeans as part of the feudal system between lords and servants. Properly seen as a remnant of injustice, Americans resisted this practice when immigrants, who knew no better, tried to import it along with their other cultural baggage. One place it took hold, however, was in the restaurants, where wicked employers would hire newly freed slaves, desperate for work, and only pay them in tips from customers. Similarly, when George Pullman wanted to simulate luxuriant living on his rail cars, he hired black servants who were willing to work for the paltry tips of travelers since no other work was available to them. Presidential candidate Taft even campaigned against the practice. Having discovered this light history, not dark history, mind you, and seeing that nothing at all has changed in 150 years, we now know that giving waiters, barbers, Uber drivers, bartenders, valets, caddies, and dog groomers tips is not an expression of appreciation for their hard work, but is really a vile system of racial oppression, no matter what their race or yours happens to be. Therefore, do not pay these poor people anything. This will force them to collectively rise up and demand their just wages, causing their employers to raise the price of everything so we can finally pay the true cost of services delivered with average customer service and lose the ability to reward excellence and punish incompetence. Let feudalism and the caste system finally perish in these United States of equity. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, let us all take a moment to celebrate the extremely vigilant self-cleansing work of virtue signaling that was performed this week by the Connecticut State Senate, which voted 33-1 to exonerate a dozen people who were convicted of witchcraft in the middle 1600s, 11 of whom were hung to death. Yes, predating the more well-known Salem witch trials by 30 years, the Hartford witch trials involved allegations of magic being used to transform into animals at night, causing victims to levitate above their beds, and even forcing one young girl to speak with an accent, probably Irish. Of course, the heretics of unwokeness around us will say that this episode only proves how dangerous the impulse toward mob judgment and intolerance can be. They'll say the witches of yesteryear might well be the climate deniers and anti-rainbowists of today, but they don't realize how uncanceling the victims of mass hysteria in the past actually serves to vindicate the mass hysteria and cancellations of today. At absolutely no cost to themselves, the elected leaders of Connecticut can preen their modern sensibilities at the expense of their forebears, reminding us all that nothing we believe is right today is completely safe from utter contempt by our descendants, whether they come after us by 400 years or 4 years. The arc of our moral universe is short, but it bends toward self-certainty. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before we dismiss, Mrs. McCann is looking for a few more younglings to join the inaugural class of her Gender Fluid Scouts. Virtue badges include confessing your biases, identifying microaggressions, basic and advanced, avoiding cultural appropriation, how not to be a Karen while still complaining to the manager, identifying white privilege, and reparations as penance. This week's lesson in Boycotting 101 has been delayed in solidarity with the ongoing Writers Guild strike. We certainly wouldn't want to be found committing verbal creativity without a contract at this time of our dear friend's need. Also, this week's fat-free, cage-free, gluten-free, non-GMO cultural sensitivity bars were donated by the local Starbucks, who couldn't even give them away for free, if you can believe it. So much the better for us. And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!